We're going to turn back to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24. We want to read, a few verses just there at the end, verse 25 and 26. We read these verses before we pray. "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for the words that we have been singing. Lord, we remember how we came at the first. Lord, we came just as we were. And Lord, that's the way we come to thee again tonight. On this matter, we don't make any progress. Lord, we come to thee simply as sinners resting upon Christ. We found acceptance at the first that way. And Lord, we've ever found acceptance as we've drawn near to thee, owning that we're sinners and depending on Christ. And Lord, we thank thee for your grace and your love toward us. And Lord, we pray that thou will just be with us for this little time tonight. Lord, we again pray that we'll be conscious of the speaking voice of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. Lord, you speak tonight. Lord, you know each one of us. And Lord, we pray that you, Lord, who knows us better than anyone else in this world, that you might speak to our very heart. And we ask this for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen. In these verses, we find the Apostle Paul has returned to Jerusalem. He has done so to bring some alms, some gifts to the Christians there. And he has been invited to get involved in a purification ritual in order, as it were, to prove his credentials to certain converted Jews. It's while he is there that he was identified from Jews from Asia who seemingly had been on his trail for quite a time and had been attacked by them. Undoubtedly, if they had got away with what they intended, Paul would have been killed. He would have been slain but for the intervention of Roman soldiers. In fact, even while in Roman protective custody, a plan was drawn up to ambush him and assassinate him. This plot being discovered, a large force of Romans was assembled to escort Paul in the middle of the night from Jerusalem down to Caesarea on the coast. And the earlier part of the chapter tells us of Paul and what he has to say when he stands before the governor there, Felix. The hearing takes place there before the governor, this man Felix. As we read the chapter, of course, and come toward the conclusion, something interesting happens. The focus of the chapter moves away from the Jews and onto the governor himself. A number of things emerge from the narrative. This man, Felix, had some knowledge of what Paul believed. Indeed, verse 10, taken with verse 22, indicates that Felix had more knowledge of the Christian gospel and practice than we might have expected. Verse 22, it says especially he had more perfect knowledge of that way. In the words, that way was a description used of the gospel and the Christian way. So it was that after Felix had adjourned the trial of Paul on the pretense of waiting the captain Lysias to come down from Jerusalem, Felix then sends for Paul and does so on more than one occasion. And what is more, we note very carefully toward the end of verse 24, he sends to hear Paul speak about faith in Christ. Now, what a wonderful opportunity this was for Paul to preach the unadulterated gospel of Christ to this man, this Roman, this man in high position. It was a great privilege too for Felix. He had no less than the Apostle Paul himself, a man with unparalleled knowledge of the truth and unparalleled power before God to speak to him. What a conversation that must have been. What a conversation it must have been, even to read the verse, as it says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And then we hear him say, go thy way for this time. What a conversation that must have been between the Apostle Paul and this Roman governor. Of course, as we look at these verses, the first thing we notice is that Felix trembled before the gospel. We're told that as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and of judgment to come, Felix trembled. It means that under the presentation of the gospel by Paul, Felix became afraid. And why did he become afraid? Undoubtedly, he was afraid as a result of Paul's reasoning on these matters of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And very obviously, Paul had much to say on these themes that are not recorded here, but we can learn what he does say elsewhere on these matters. And undoubtedly, he would have brought before this man the fact that God is a holy God, and God requires righteousness of his creatures. Perhaps Felix could have understood this in some measure because he was also required to enforce the law of Rome. As governor, he must uphold the law of Rome. So God, as the judge of all the earth, the Lord of all the earth, will uphold his law. Paul also mentions temperance, self-control, the necessity for us to yield obedience to the law of God. And if we do not, then we must and shall come face to face with the judgment of God. Perhaps saying something of this to this man, Felix. Felix, you know the consequences of breaking the law. Then there'll be judgment. And it was a message that Felix needed to hear. Because Felix was a wicked and sinful man. He may have had a head knowledge of the gospel, but he was a wicked and sinful man. History knows him as Marcus Antonius Felix. He originally was a slave who got his freedom. After freedom, he obtained his first military command and further promotion through the influence of his brother Paulus with the emperor Claudius. He is known to history as a cruel and licentious man. The Jewish historian Josephus accuses him of having ordered the assassination of the high priest Jonathan. And the Roman historian Tacitus says that he ruled in Judea like a tyrant. That is a bit ironic in the light of the words of the orator Tertullius. He came along with his smooth words and said all these nice things to this man Felix. And of course we could say maybe not a word of them was true. He said to Felix, by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. The truth is somewhat different. But of course, sometimes people know how to use the right words and to use the expression, butter people up. That's what this man was involved in. Felix's cruelty and licentiousness was coupled with his readiness to accept bribes, and that comes out in the verses. In fact, his period of governorship in Judea was marked by an increase in crime. It was marked by internal feuds and disturbances, which he put down with the utmost severity. Eventually, indeed, he was recalled to Rome when the citizens of Caesarea complained to Caesar about the brutality that he showed in putting down a riot there. He was also immoral. He was married 3 times. And in fact, the woman by his side is called Drusilla. It says she's a Jewess. She was the granddaughter of one of the Herods. This woman herself, even at a time when immorality was common, she was known for her unbridled immorality. So it was that Paul had this opportunity to preach on these themes of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And he not only preached to him, he didn't bring the mere doctrine, he reasoned with him. He applied the gospel to this man. He reasoned with this man. So we have every reason to accept that Paul, having explained God's demands, showed Felix that his own life condemned him. We were speaking of John the Baptist this morning. Well, here Paul is being like another John the Baptist, and perhaps we could speculate that he'd point to Drusilla and say to this man, it is not lawful for thee to have her. She is another man's husband. She left her husband to come to you. He would examine other aspects of Felix's life and show how it condemned him. He would remind him that the day of judgment for him also would come, and that he was unprepared. It must have been a powerful examination by Paul. For the Lord was with him, because we're told that this man, this governor of Judea, trembles. And he grows afraid, and rightly so. He was right to grow afraid. But I want to ask you, have you ever come to this position where the Lord has spoken to you about your life and your sin and the consequences of it? Have you ever come under fear under the preaching of the gospel? Have you ever trembled as your life has been examined in the light of God's word? Because if you're out of Christ and not saved, you do well to tremble. You have every reason to tremble. If you're living your life without thought of God, and I don't know what sins there are in your life, but I'll tell you this, none of it is hid from God. There's nothing hid. The Lord sees it all. The Lord sees everything in our lives. You know, there's things in all of our lives that no one else on the face of the earth knows about us. But God sees it all. It's not hid to him. And the day is coming when you also will give account. And if you're not ready, if you're not saved, if you haven't come to Christ, then you do well to be afraid. You would do well to tremble. And if tonight you can sit here unsaved and don't tremble, then your situation is pitiable indeed. To be conscious of what lies before and not to tremble. The Bible warns us it is a fearful thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, how dreadful it will be for you if tonight you're out of Christ and you come to this position where you hear your condemnation from the lips of Jesus Christ on that great day. And oh, what terror will be yours as condemned you fall into the abyss, cast off forever without hope, with nothing but everlasting terror as your lot. You would do well to tremble. As you contemplate that, you would do well to tremble. If you can sit and think of your situation and your conscience, your sinner, as the Word of God exposes it, and the commandments expose it, especially when it goes into the desires and thoughts of our lives, and the sin has shown up there, then we are condemned, and we realize that we're not prepared, or we haven't made preparation in Christ, then we do well to tremble. You do well to tremble. Let me ask you, dear one, out of Christ, do you tremble? If you're unprepared, you do well to tremble. This man trembles, hardened man that he was, brutal man that he was, under the presentation of the message of the gospel by Paul, he trembles. He does well to tremble. But sadly, we see not only Felix tremble before the gospel, we see him temporize before the gospel. It's good for a man or woman to tremble before the gospel, but it's not enough. Tragically, there have been too many who have trembled under the ministry of God's word, who by disregarding that message have gone on to tremble in terror in the depths of a Christless hell. And I suppose you could call Felix the clearest example of that type. A man who feels the impact of God's word and yet temporizes. Perhaps there's someone with us tonight and you have trembled as some servant of the Lord has reasoned with you of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. But it's all that you've done. It hasn't gone any further. Maybe there have been times when Mr. Martin or Dr. Douglas has been bringing a message and the word has got right home to you. You have known that that message was for you. You've known that. You've known that this was God speaking to you. What a privilege you have had. What a mercy that God from heaven, the Spirit of God should come and take what mere men say and bring it home to our hearts with power, and we're conscious that this is God speaking to us. And as it were, the Lord reasoning with us of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. But that's all you've done, because we notice what Felix did. It tells us, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He put the matter off. He put the matter off, a deadly thing to do. Perhaps this man had a habit of this. Maybe it's the type of man he was, trying to avoid any difficult issue. We could think he behaves that way in verse 22 when he defers hearing the case against Paul, waits for the chief captain to come down. It certainly says he deferred them. We don't read that this chief captain ever came down. He may have done, but we can speculate he didn't do. Maybe this is the type of person he was. Put things off. Maybe that's the type of person you are. You're forever putting things off, the difficult position, the difficult situation or matter or business. You put it off. Well, there'll be many issues that, well, you'll get away with that without too severe consequence, but not this issue. Not this issue. Well, here's this man, Felix, and he's at that business. And this time in connection about doing the right thing with regard to the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this was a much more vital matter than Paul's freedom. Oh, undoubtedly, Paul, like anyone in prison, would desire his freedom. But this is much more important because it's got to do with the destiny of this man's own soul. The destiny of the soul. Where are we going to be in eternity? When death comes and death claims us, where will we be in eternity? Where will your soul be one moment after your breath has ceased? This is a matter of the soul. What ought this man to have done? Well, why was it he'd sent for Paul? Well, we're told in verse 24, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And I have no doubt that in all that he said, Paul preached Christ. Christ and his death as a remedy for the guilt of sin. Now, this man was, as we've said, a brutal man, a wicked man, an immoral man. But there was a Savior for him. That Savior was set before him. The Apostle Paul would set Christ before him. And that's what this man needed. A sinful, sinful man needed a Savior. He needed one who had obtained for him forgiveness for all the sins and all the wrong he had done. He needed Christ as the one who would provide for him righteousness in the presence of God. He needed one who would change his life and enable him to face that last judgment day. He needed a Savior. Now, I would ask, are you going to do what Felix did? Or are you going to do what Felix ought to have done? Are you going to put the matter off? Or are you going to turn from sin to Christ? What is it to be? What's it going to be tonight? You've been in this position before. And you've put it off then. Are you going to put it off once more? Are you going to put off this most vital matter of the salvation of your soul, your soul's eternal destiny? Are you going to put this matter off? Maybe you do so or have done in the past with the notion expressed in the answer of Felix, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix had the notion that he would have a better time in which he could attend to these things, a more convenient time. Never came. It never came. And I would disabuse you of any notion that you have that these things are in your hands to decide. How many have this idea that this whole matter is in their hands, and at a time when they think fit, they'll come to Christ? I want to say this. If you don't come to Christ when the Lord is working in your heart and life, If you do not come to Christ when the Lord is calling, you will never come. You will never come. Because the Lord can leave you where you are. That's a danger the Bible warns of so very clearly. We think of that strong statement in Proverbs chapter 1, where the Lord says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded." Then it goes on later to say, "Then shall they call upon me and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." It is possible for someone to be in that position where the Lord has spoken to them and again the word of God has come to their hearts with power and they have trembled. And yet they temporize to put the matter off, thinking that at their convenience, at a moment to suit themselves, they can come. And yet they've never come and never can come. Because you come by the grace of God and only the Lord can save. And you can't decide when that's going to be. As 2 Corinthians warns us in chapter 6, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That idea that you can be saved some other time, that's the devil's gospel. That's the devil tells you. Have you ever heard the voice of the devil? Maybe you think you haven't. But maybe you have. As he's come alongside you in some meeting and said to you, "Put it off to next week. Put it off to some other time." Now, have you heard that voice? Haven't recognized the accent, have you? This is your opportunity. Not tomorrow. Now. As the hymn says, "Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again, oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow, you may call in vain." The last thing we can say about Felix is he trivializes the gospel. Trivializes it. You see it in his procedure. We're told he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, verse 26, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Do you see what's happening now, Felix? Oh, he's sending for Paul. It seems to be quite often one might have thought, "Oh, you can be encouraged. Felix wants to talk to me." But there's no trembling here anymore. It just seems to be idle curiosity. He had knowledge of these things. We're told that. But it hadn't affected him before. It just becomes an opportunity to be offered a bribe. That's all he's thinking about. That's what happens, you see. The time you tremble and there's a time you temporize, then you turn aside to trivial things, trifling things. And maybe there was a time when you trembled, but you don't tremble tonight. All you're concerned about is really things that are relatively unimportant. Oh, maybe you could hold a conversation or a discussion about religious things. You'd have that sort of interest, even a good argument. That's all it is. Don't trivialize this matter. Don't treat it as a small matter, unimportant matter. This is vital. This is important. Remember, Felix died without Christ. Think of it, you can tremble under the preaching of the gospel. Feel the power of it. Feel the power of it so much that you tremble and you'd perish if you treat it as a light matter. And tonight I would urge you, if you're out of Christ, treat the matter of your soul salvation as the most serious thing that you can attend to during your existence in this world. And I would urge you, lay hold on Christ now. As the hymn we sang says, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Let me ask you, is the Spirit of God striving with you even now? Is there someone here And as you sit where you are, the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you're conscious that God's speaking to you that you need to get saved. You're sitting in your pew, and you're conscious that you need to get saved. What a mercy that is. I say it again, if God stops speaking to you, where are you going to be? What a privilege. You know, I always, in my testimony, reflect on the fact that I think I was 6 years of age when my mother challenged me and said, "Are you saved? You need to be saved." And it came like an arrow to my heart just at 6 years of age, boys and girls. Maybe you're 6 years of age, maybe a bit younger or older, but you need to be saved. I'm glad that God spoke to me then. And again, my mother spoke, children's workers spoke, Sabbath school teachers spoke, in the preaching of the word, God spoke. He drew me to himself, and what a privilege tonight of God speaking to you. Will you come to Christ? Will you come to Christ? Settle the matter tonight. Settle the matter of your eternal destiny. What a privilege to be able to go home tonight and put your head on that pillow and to know I'm pardoned, I'm forgiven. All of my sins are forgiven, all of them. Pardon's a wonderful thing. Guilt's a terrible thing. But to be knew you're pardoned through faith in Christ. And it's not a matter that God has just turned a blind eye to your sins. They've been dealt with. Christ has borne the punishment. He's drank that cup down. He has paid the full price of our sins. The price is paid. We are pardoned and forgiven. What a privilege. And that can be yours. Oh, that you will come to Christ and find him as your Savior tonight. May the Lord help you. May you come.